Of course, every state fair is a great fair, but our annual trip to the Minnesota State Fair proves that Minnesota has the best state fair. At least for me. The fair creates an excitement for people from all walks of life. Here are Jennifer Penix and Katie Carter with a sample from the 2017 Minnesota State Fair.
We are joined by a special guest. Katie, who do we have?
Today, right now, we've got Ralph Pribble, and Ralph has come over to talk to us from the Eco Experience building here at the fair, and Ralph works for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. So, I've never been to the fair, and I'm sitting in this booth right now, and I still haven't really been to the fair. When I go out these doors, and I make my way towards the Eco Experience building facility, what's going to be in there? What's going on over there?
The first thing you're going to see as you approach the building is the blade of a wind turbine standing upright in front of the building, 150 feet tall. It's noticeable for long distance around the building, and it's a real attention grabber. It gives you the idea of what you're going to be seeing, which is a lot of exhibits about energy, the environment, pollution, how to live our lives so that we have a lesser impact on our environment and on the planet, and green building, organic farming, growing your own food, all those types of topics that are about helping to make the planet a better place for us all to live in.
That sounds like my kind of place. So I heard, well, there's a lot of different things going on in there that we can talk about, but one of the things I'm interested in is there's a water bar where people can actually test waters from different areas of the state, drinking water?
Yep. Yes, we have the water bar is a big attraction this year. It is staffed by water professionals with water from drinking water systems around the state. A lot of us are used to the water that we drink at home, and we think that's what all water tastes like.
Right.
Well, not necessarily so. There can be significant differences from community to community, depending on the part of the state that you're in. So the water bar people are serving three flights of water per day. You can sample water from three different areas, and they rotate around. For instance, Duluth, Brainerd, the Twin Cities, there are other communities who are contributing water to the water bar as well.
So are they keeping a poll of favorites or anything like that?
I think they are tracking, you know, who votes for the best tasting water. And I don't know what the results are so far, but I'm sure they'll be announcing that somehow.
It is fascinating when you visit a friend or a family member. And I think particularly kids are really keen on how water tastes at grandma's house or whatever. So it's fascinating.
Yeah. A little known fact about water in Minnesota. Here we are the land of over 10,000 lakes. People would assume that we get most of our drinking water from surface, from rivers or lakes, but that's not the case. About two-thirds of the people in Minnesota actually use groundwater for their drinking water, pumped up from below the ground.
Sure, with a pump. Well, I know we've got a piece of property out in the woods that we use a shallow well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it tastes disgusting.
Yeah, now, there's lots of things that can do that to a private well.
Yeah, but that's just a preference, I guess. You know, somebody else might think it tastes great.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also, there's a Paul Bunyan thing over there, the Paul Bunyan Eco Zone.
Yes.
What's that?
We've got an area which is watched over by a 15-foot tall Paul Bunyan, who actually can speak to people as you view his exhibit. He's all about reuse and repair and not wasting clothing and textiles.
Yes.
Actually, in Minnesota, people may be surprised to know that we throw away about 12 grocery carts full of clothing or textiles every minute. And that's throw away. That's a lot of material that can be reused, repurposed. So Paul's exhibit is all about learning how to repair, reuse, repurpose clothing, and there's hands-on things that people can do. He's really attractive to the kids. He's quite charming looking, and he'll actually speak as you're standing there, and he'll address these topics.
Huh? So where people go through their closets, and their kids grow out of clothes, parents grow out of clothes sometimes, too. Where is the best place to donate to make sure that it does get reused somehow?
Well, depending on where you live, there are a number of organizations that are glad to accept donations of used clothing. We, in my household, we donate in St. Paul to the Epilepsy Foundation, but they are just one of many organizations that are happy to accept used clothing. And a lot of times, the clothing that we donate will be shipped overseas. So you'll see kids in some of the poorest countries on earth wearing T-shirts that are made in Minnesota, perhaps. Well, that's often how they all wind up getting there. So used clothing is definitely a benefit to anybody. Or I should say that somebody somewhere is going to be able to benefit from your used clothing. So we really encourage reuse and repurposing.
And so even if you donate it to a place at... Normally, it sounds like it'll eventually get shipped somewhere where it will be used.
Yep, locally. And if local organizations can't use them, it often goes overseas.
Oh, that's great. That's great. What is Climate Bingo?
Climate Bingo is one of the popular exhibits within our Eco Experience building. When you walk in the front door, you can ask at the information desk for a card, a bingo card basically, which will have you visiting different stations around the building, on the inside of the building. And you may be asked to do a small activity or answer a question. And if you do that, you can get stamped on your bingo card. If you get a bingo, which is that tough to do, so it's fun for kids. Mm-hmm. You can go back to the front desk, and they will give you a buff. I don't know if a buff is something I only heard of recently. Younger people probably know what it is, but it's basically a multi-purpose head and neck covering.
Okay.
It's like a sock for your neck, and it stretches to pull up over your head or up into your face. Very multi-purpose kind of thing.
Well, we could use that in northern Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Starting next week, probably.
They're popular. I first became aware of them. They're being given away these days to cross-country skiers for finishing a race. So.
Yeah. Well, you're an environmental guy. And we were talking a little bit about the hazy sky today down here in Minneapolis for those of our listeners up in Bemidji and Grand Rapids and across northern Minnesota. It's really hazy down here, and maybe it is up there too. I don't know. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, this morning I woke up to see the sun. Actually, the sun wasn't quite up when I got up, but as it came up, it looked like a partial solar eclipse.
Yeah.
There just wasn't a whole lot of strong sunlight showing, and I walked outside, and sure enough, the sun was obscured by a veil of haze, and that reflects the kind of regional smoke that we've been having over the past few days, which is actually coming from far to our northwest in the Pacific Northwest in Canada from forest fires.
Mm.
And this is a problem that we've had for our air quality the last several years, really, is these very large forest fires out west and north of us that are bringing smoke in our direction. Yesterday, you could actually smell it. I don't know if that'll be the case today. It could change at any time. The winds could shift and move things out. But if people would like to know more information about that, they could look at the website of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and search for the Air Quality Index, which is the daily conditions in terms of the quality of our air. Is it having impacts on our health, or could it have impacts on our health? And it can be a concern for people, vulnerable populations, elderly, younger children, people who have respiratory conditions.
Right.
So if the AQI, Air Quality Index, can give you more information about that.
Oh, interesting. So we know about, try to remember to recycle. Try to remember to reuse if we can. What are some other tips that maybe people don't think of right away as ways they can be a little more helpful to the planet?
One thing that's that we place a lot of emphasis on at the PCA, Pollution Control Agency, is proper maintenance of septic systems. I couldn't tell you the percentage of people in Minnesota who use septic systems rather than centralized wastewater treatment, but those septic systems are many thousands in number, and they can definitely have an impact on the environment, the local environment, if they're not properly maintained. So we always encourage people to think about your septic system. Make sure that it's up to code, properly maintained. There is assistance available from various places, counties, the state sometimes, to help upgrade septic systems when needed. So that's one thing. Another, in the urban areas, we work hard to get out the message to try to minimize use of private automobiles. Of course, everybody needs to do what they do with their cars, but we want to get people to think about the options to use combined trips, use public transportation, bike or walk if possible. Of course, it's not going to work for everybody. We know that. But we do work at getting the message out to minimize your use of automobiles to the extent that you can, because it's, again, perhaps a little known fact that most of our air pollution these days does not come from factories and smokestacks. That's kind of the classic stereotype. It's more about the cars that we drive, the trucks that deliver our goods. A good percentage of our pollution, I think it's about half, comes from vehicles on our roadways, basically.
Wow, so just being conscientious. We can't do it all the time.
Right, exactly.
So to just be conscientious and make choices throughout our days.
Yeah, and just like as was the case with recycling, which we started doing as a society several decades ago now, mm-hmm. It takes a while for people to get in the mindset. But people are definitely thinking these days about recycling. And we find that, you know, people are going to be thinking someday about minimizing their impact, their use of automobiles. In fact, it may be already happening. I think the issuance of driver's license among younger people is declining, actually, as it reflects younger people's kind of a growing preference not to drive or drive as much.
Yeah, finding another alternative to getting where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that may be the effect of some of those messages taking place already. We don't know.
Yeah, the kids are the future, and they're learning like crazy about how to save their planet. And they're bringing that home, and it's becoming just a reality rather than something they have to strive for. It's just something that's ingrained in them.
That's exactly the way it works.
Yeah. So that is Ralph Pribble. He works for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and he's working over at the Eco Experience today. So we're encouraging anybody who is at the State Fair today to go check that out. And if you're coming down to the State Fair, definitely stop in and walk around.
Absolutely. We'd love to see people.
Well, thank you, Ralph.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
For Northern Community Radio, I'm Brett Carter, connecting you to the Minnesota State Fair.